Hello and welcome to Gayest Episode Ever, the podcast where we talk about the LGBT-focused episodes of classic sitcoms, which is to say the very special episodes that also happen to be the very queer episodes. I'm Drew Mackey.
I'm Glenn Lakin.
And there's not an intro in this episode, really, because we're not talking about any particular TV show today.
I feel like I said my name weird. Did I?
I mean, we'll have to go back.
Again.
I can manipulate it in post to make it sound weirder if you like.
Oh, cool. That'd be great.
Yeah. We had an off week post Golden Girls table read to bask in the success of the Golden Girls table read.
To rest my weary brain.
Yeah, me too, actually. And I just needed a break from post-production. So rather than come back with a real episode, this week we're coming back with a very fake episode where we just answer listener questions.
Sorry, new listeners.
Sorry if this is the first episode you're hearing. This will probably not be interesting to you. But this is a great way to address various things that have been asked like over the past year that I've just been adding to like a Google Doc. And then I put out a call for questions and people asked more stuff. And so we're going to go through them now. Isn't that fun, Glenn?
I'm thrilled. Thrilled to be here.
Next week, we will be back with a regular episode about an episode of TV show. We are doing The Nanny.
The Nanny.
I've heard of her. And also, by then, we will not be on SoundCloud anymore. We will be on Libsyn. We're abandoning SoundCloud because SoundCloud abandoned us.
Revenge?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, we're not going to pay SoundCloud anymore. The SoundCloud feed will still exist, but it won't make any difference to anyone listening, especially if you listen on Patreon. That's not going to change a thing, but it'll be a seamless transition. You can listen to us in all the places you normally did. It's just that now the hosting will be better for us. And also two episodes that were completely not available to the public for I don't know how long will be available again. Those are the Second Cheers episode and the Everyone Loves Raymond episode, which SoundCloud decided shouldn't be listenable.
That's too bad. I really like the Everyone Loves Raymond episode.
They're both good episodes. And I thought people just didn't like them because the numbers weren't going up. No, because SoundCloud took them offline and didn't tell me and also wouldn't tell me why. So that,
you know what you did.
No, I asked and they won't tell me. That's a crazy situation. So it was like, oh, well, anyway, I'm not going to get mad about it. But
sounds like you are mad about it.
I am mad about it. It's so weird. It's like, I'm paying you money and they're like, we're going to not do the thing you're paying us for. We're not going to tell you why. And there's nothing you can do about it. What way is that to run a business, Glenn?
I don't know. Is that our first question?
No, no one actually asked about that. We're recording this on March 10th. Happy Super Mario Day to you, Glenn.
Happy Super Mario Day to you, Drew.
Do you
know? Or Super Mario Day to you. Instead of happy.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Do you know what the published date of our first episode was?
March 10th?
March 8th.
Okay.
We're 2 years old.
Happy anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Sunday, but now it's Tuesday. And yeah, we're 2 years old. I think it's weird looking at like, oh, only 50 episodes in 2 years. But like, I think we've done a lot in 2 years and we should be proud of that.
Okay.
You should be proud of that.
Okay.
Be proud of that.
Okay.
You don't sound sincere.
I am not.
No. Okay. The first question is, how did you guys meet?
I can field this one. I think I talked about this on the show before, but a refresher. I was recently out of a relationship and it was my birthday and I was depressed. And I was in the middle of like a not great birthday trip. Sorry, Andrew and Melly. It's just I wasn't in the right headspace for it. But I was going through a blog and it happened to be your blog, Drew. It was Video Games Made Me Gay or something along those lines.
Probably.
And that led me to Back of the Cereal Box. And I went through like all of the pages and I just reached out to Drew as a crazy fan.
No, Crazy Fran.
Crazy Fran Drescher. That's me.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, thank you for this blog. It was actually helpful to me to realize there are gay nerds out there. And this is in context with my relationship because my ex was not a nerd really of any kind.
Mm-hmm. I found the email.
Question two.
And I got this when I was at a Paul McCartney concert with my friend Stephanie and was like reading this out loud. And she was like, he might be creepy.
Turns out she was right.
And I was like, okay, let's meet for food. And then I was like, you should move in. And
well, that was a year later.
Was it really a year?
Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea what the timeline between like,
I think between then, like, I think we sent each other like pictures from the Golden Axe video or fighting game.
Yes. We sent each other erotic pictures. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. For a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And that first email was September 23rd, 2013.
Jesus.
We've known each other for like longer than I've like been in touch with like people from college. Like I haven't known for that long. So yeah. Number two, how did you guys decide to do a podcast?
Well, you were already doing a podcast
mm-hmm.
and I was living with you mm-hmm. and said, and you were wanting to do some sort of gay content podcast. And I suggested this.
Oh, this was your idea?
It was.
I don't remember that.
I knew you were going to say you didn't remember that.
No.
It was. You had wanted to do the sort of this made me gay formatting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But this was something that we both had sort of expertise in.
Yeah. Uniquely, yeah.
Yeah. And just for me personally at the time, I think I was – and this is obviously a running theme with me. It's like I was very frustrated with my career, particularly the TV side. I just wasn't getting any traction. And I think at the time my manager had sat on my pilot for like 5 months. And this was after like I'd written 3 or 4 animated pilots that mm-hmm. he had shelved.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just thinking of ways to like lend my voice to some sort of TV community. So that was my selfish reason for doing it.
I remember specifically that the idea to do a show together came after you did one of what turned out to be final few episodes of the original podcast. It was a Return to Oz theme episode. And I was like, oh, yeah, working with someone that I already talk about this stuff with on a daily basis is a lot easier than working with someone that I don't actually know that well. And then you required some convincing that you should do a podcast.
And one of my conditions, which is a question later, is that I will never listen to an episode.
I thought of a workaround for this problem. And so I'm very excited for how it's going to come into existence, but you will one day be able to listen to an entire episode of the show.
Cool.
It's going to be great. Question number three, do you hang out all day and just watch TV?
All night.
No, for like, we watch like an hour of TV a night and that's it. And then you go back to your work hole and I pet Thurman and, watch more TV on my own. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but basically it's like, usually an hour long or 2 half-hour longs. And sometimes we'll watch a bad horror movie if it pops up on our radar.
The last one we watched was real bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Edge of the Axe. Not as good as the trailer made it seem. Sorry. What is a story that you think is important to who you are today that you have never shared on the show?
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I thought I actually had this one in my notes for when we did the 80s cartoons that made us gay. Just because it was such a like long episode as is, I didn't get around to this part. But when you were talking about Beverly Hills Teens, that is something that I watched kind of secretly because I know it was something you're not supposed to watch. And I remember there was one day when my mom had to go to like another school mom's house and like brought me with her. And like, you're just going to hang out with her son, who was a year older than me. And we were watching cartoons and that came on and we watched it. I was pretty young. I don't remember what, maybe like 6 or something. And I was like, oh, do you like this show? We talked about how like we did like that show. Then sometime later it came up like, oh, that was a show for girls, like in completely different school context. And I was like, no, like his name is Matt. Matt watches it. Like Matt in like the grade above us watches it. And he said it was fine. And then I got back to him and then he confronted me at lunch and said that that never happened and that I was lying. And I was like, okay. And I looking back and I'm like, that was my first experience with like someone having a crisis of masculinity and panicking and like taking it out on like the easiest possible victim, which was me. Yeah.
Nothing has changed.
No, really hasn't.
I think for me, I was deaf as a toddler. And by the time that was resolved, I mean, I'd already like sort of solidified that I needed like 8 years of speech therapy. If mm-hmm. you're wondering why I do not want to listen to this podcast. And also I was like on a watch list with the school being like, make sure his development's okay, or else we're going to have to send him to a quote unquote special school. Mm-hmm. And so I just studied very hard and that stuck. And so that's why I sort of approach things intellectually a lot of times.
I think maybe people don't realize that like you had speech therapy and were like essentially deaf, like functionally deaf.
Yes.
I guess is how you describe it. But like, I don't think people would assume that just by listening to you because people seem to be okay. Not that I'm trying to convince you to listen to this. I'm just wanting you to know that people seem to be good with the way you talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did you call your show Gayest Episode Ever if you're not actually ranking episodes in terms of gayness, which we are not at all?
I mean, one, branding, it just sounded good.
I thought of the title and I'm like, that's probably a show already. And it wasn't. I was like, oh, I guess that has to be it.
Well, also, like, that's just sort of like, maybe it's just our generation, but like when you're a kid or a teenager, everything is just the most ever, even if it's not.
Yeah.
It's just the most, like, every new episode we talk about is going to be the gayest episode ever because it just wasn't on our radar yet.
I guess, and since we're talking about a lot of one-offs too, we are often talking about the gayest Mary Tyler Moore ever or gayest dinosaurs ever, but what episodes that you've covered or intend to cover have struck you as handling LGBT issues very well, which struck you as handling them badly? Glenn?
I think Gimme a Break stands out for me as a nice intersection of being surprising to me that they handle it so well. And also just an interesting conversation about Nell Carter.
Mm-hmm.
What's your good one before we talk about the bad one?
Isn't It Romantic, aka Dorothy's best friend is a lesbian, which is one of the first ones we did. We knew it was going to be good, but in talking about it, I realized how much better it was than I even knew and how good the character of Lois is and how she feels like she really exists and is part of that universe, even though we never see her again. Yeah, I like that one.
My one that actually made me scream was the second Simpsons episode we did.
Yeah, that's on my list too. I said that one and Blossom, but both of those are actually mostly bad for like plot structure reasons. It's not, I mean, the Simpsons one is kind of bad, but like, it's not so much that they're putting out a negative portrayal of gay people. It's just more that like, this was like a shoddily constructed piece of TV.
It comes off as pandering almost. Yeah. And the Blossom one was just overstuffed.
That was a weird episode.
It was a very weird episode of TV. And the Simpsons one, the fact that it won an Emmy is what.
That is weird.
Really upset me.
Yeah. That is Gaze of the Condo, the one we did just a few weeks ago, in case you're wondering which one it is. I also said one we hadn't covered, and I kind of don't want to. Do you remember that episode of South Park where it is about Queer Eye and the metrosexual fad with a D, where like, fuck, the teacher who was the puppet, what's his name?
Garrison?
Mr. Garrison.
Is that right? That sounds right.
I think so. It's been a long time since I watched South Park, but him and his husband, who's like a slave,
yes,
like object to what it makes people think gay people are, and it kind of seems like it's going to do something, but then you find out that the Queer Eye guys are all crab people, and it just doesn't.
Oh right,
it does not go anywhere. It's really dumb.
Yeah, but crab people is kind of catchy.
It is really catchy. I hate it, and I think that one actually like completely misses opportunity because sometimes South Park.
Do you want to talk about that episode?
Kind of. No, I don't love South Park. South Park like makes me very irritated.
Well, I mean, that's a reason to watch it.
No.
We're gonna watch it. Next question.
Why not call it Queerest Show Ever or something more inclusive? Well, it wasn't good branding, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's probably the best answer, but it was kind of just branding. And also, like, we are talking about an era of shows where anything that is LGBTQ was just branded as gay.
Right. And to a certain extent, that still happens. And I think we're still moving away from that. But I mean, you will still see that in newspapers of record talking about like gay issues or like even same sex doesn't quite cover it because that excludes like bi, some queer people and trans people like don't necessarily fit under that label. And LGBTQIA+ is like the most expansive version of it, and that just does not roll off the tongue. That's not good. That's not good
marketing.
Social, what do you call it? That's not good. Google, I don't know what my word is. The term for like making something show up on Google.
Trending? No, I don't know.
Okay, never mind. So sorry about that. We'll cover everything, but that's what we called it. Will you do more table read shows, Glenn?
I mean, get all of your friends to listen to the Golden Girls one. Get those numbers up to make it worth it for us.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to do more. I have some spec scripts. I don't know if they're worthy of another table read. I'd like the next one to be a little bit more focused on LGBTQ issues.
Mm.
And I have ideas for other ones. It's just a matter of time. Like, I do actually have to like write these things because I want them to be good.
How many years did it take you to make that Golden Girls become what?
Well, I mean, I wrote the first draft 10 years ago in like 2 days. But like even when we dusted it off, like I took time to revisit it, change some jokes I don't think aged particularly well. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, got people to read it, took notes. Like I treated it like an actual writing assignment. And right now I'm just sort of overly focused on my own stuff.
Like writing for not this podcast.
Writing for things that will hopefully make me money.
Golden Girls might make us some money one day.
That'd be nice. But I mean, I'm very appreciative to have this outlet to actually like do writing like that, because I do actually, I miss when spec scripts were a thing, and people don't know that's short for speculative. It's when you write an episode of an existing show. Back in like the 80s, you could actually like send that into the show it was and probably get an episode. But then like for legal reasons that changed, blah, blah, blah. And now people just don't, aside from like contests and fellowships, no one really reads spec scripts. You get your jobs off of pilots. Mm-hmm. And also like your social media presence, which is enraging for other reasons. Mm-hmm. And so there's just not really a reason for me to write spec scripts on my own other than this podcast now, which is a beautiful reason.
I look forward to doing another one at some point. Yeah. I mean, we will hit 100 episodes sometime next year, probably. Will you do more interviews? Yes, we want to. It's just really a scheduling thing. We're taking an off week just on a regular schedule. It's just a little bit more of an effort to find someone that wants to talk to us. Although I have a few people in mind, including the person who wrote Isn't It Romantic?
Perfect.
Yeah, I have his contact info. So we can try that. Would you ever do a podcast about gay movies? Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I probably have more to say about movies than TV, but it's a different undertaking. And I think the reason we wanted to talk about sitcoms is because a lot of them didn't really put a lot of thought into it all the time. Like some of them did, some of them didn't. But it is interesting to look at. And also because it was a one-off thing and short, it did get to be the focus of a lot of episodes. Whereas queer content in movies for a long time was either, if it was focused on that, it was like small art films. If it was big budget things, it was the side character.
Right.
And there's just not as much of a solid through line in talking about that.
This is true. Also, from a post-production standpoint, it's a lot easier to unpack a 22-minute episode of TV and pull every little bit out of it and be like, we analyzed the fuck out of this. To do that with a movie takes a lot more time. There's a reason when Talking Simpsons does an animated movie episode, those are like 4 hours long because they put the attention they put into a Simpsons episode into a 90-minute movie. That's a lot of work. And then I technically still have You Have to Watch This Movie with Tony, but the pulling clips, just the act of like pulling clips to put into those episodes just took so long because you're trying to find one line and sometimes it can be very hard to find that in the span of an entire movie that you've only seen once or twice. So that is why maybe we'll see. What are some of your favorite movies? Glenn, do you have movies that you like?
I do, but I actually prefer to answer this question with like movies I've watched the most. And that's for me, it's Care Bears 2. First Wives Club. There was a period in my life right after college where I watched it every day at lunch. I don't know why. Birdcage, Clue, Groundhog Day, and Addams Family Values.
I've never seen Addams Family Values.
Oh, you should watch Addams Family Values. It's very good.
That's what everyone tells me. Everyone told you Joan Cusack is like amazing in it.
She is.
It's like one of the best things she's ever done.
It is.
Clue is also on my list. Have you ever made someone watch Clue who didn't see it as a kid?
Yeah, I think Andrew, I believe. I asked when early in our friendship, I made him watch it.
Did he like it?
I believe so.
I
could be making it up. Sorry, Andrew.
I've had no luck like making people who didn't grow up watching it watch it. I think it might be something that like our little child brains seized onto it, but that was a great movie to watch when I was like 8. I mean, it still is. I would say Brady Bunch movie, which is a very telling answer given the nature of this podcast and the fact that I interviewed the guy who wrote it. And Mulholland Drive, which originally started out as a TV pilot and didn't end up becoming that.
That used to be on my list when I would answer favorite movies instead of most watched. But I also think it screwed up my writing for a while.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to pattern your writing.
No. Yeah, that and Donnie Darko.
Yeah, that was a rough period for angsty young creative types. What are current-ish shows that you like?
We just finished watching the third season of Castlevania, which I think I enjoyed more than you.
Yeah, I found it unsatisfying. But I mean,
But I think that was
the point. I enjoyed it, but there's things I have questions about.
Right.
Like, where was Carmilla? Where was Carmilla for like half of the season? Where I like her. Okay, sorry. What else have we watched?
We burned through lots of things, like Watchmen and The Outsider.
Outsider is really good. Watchmen is really good. That's another reason I'm maybe not so hot on TVs. That's like stuff like TVs. I'm not so hot on movies because things like The Outsider and Watchmen are like 10-hour movies, or Lock and Key was like a 10-hour movie that went into such great depth that I almost would rather deep dive into those. But
I'm excited to watch the new season of One Day at a Time, although I am actually a season behind.
Oh, it's still on Hulu right now. Oh, Netflix. It's on Netflix.
Yeah. You can still watch it. The new one's on Hulu. It's going to be. They just launched the trailer, I guess.
Oh, I didn't see that yet. What else have we watched? I'm trying to think. I still watch Black-ish. Black-ish is a actual broadcast network sitcom that I think is good and makes me doesn't feel dated at all, but like makes me feel happy that they're making like smart family written shows. Also, Mixed-ish is not bad either.
Okay.
Where Mark Paul Gosselaar plays
a very hot man.
Very hot dad, yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably other stuff. I can't think of anything else. I didn't actually answer that question ahead of time. This is off the top of my head. Will you guys ever do another Roseanne? Sure.
Yeah. Isn't there one you want to do?
Yeah. We want to do the one where Nancy comes out. The reason we didn't do that is like right after the first, like we did that first one, like a few months later, Roseanne got her show killed and then got her character killed off. And people just did not want to spend time with Roseanne the person. And as an extension of the show, maybe now it's been 2 years later, it's been long enough that people can remember how the show is good without feeling awful about like Roseanne the person. So yeah, maybe we'll do that this season.
Well, which actually, another question we got was why we call the Cosby Show the Felicia Rashad Show and the Roseanne Show the John Goodman Show.
Mm-hmm.
I think are of a stronger opinion about referring them as the other people's names than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let you talk about it. I think we both agree that the lens through which we look back at culture from a different time, like there's going to be varying thicknesses for different people. And I think your lens is a little thicker. And for you, it's harder to divorce the current politics from the period when these shows were made.
This is true. I kind of do. It's a joke where like saying Bill Cosby's name is like a dirty word, but it kind of is in that it's really hard to think about Bill Cosby at the time without thinking about all the bad stuff he's done that we know about now. So it's just kind of a way of distancing the show from the person. Yeah, it's mostly a joke.
And I think I just come from it as like someone being in the industry, knowing that so many more people put their heart and souls into these shows
mm-hmm.
than just the person whose name is in the title. That like I understand why cancel culture exists. I do just feel bad for the people who were attached to these shows that are now being hurt by it. But then you have to think about like, oh, what did they know? Who was complicit? And it's just a big old mess. Everything's a big old mess.
And also, I think stuff will eventually come back. There'll be a time when it's easier to talk about Roseanne the show and maybe even Cosby the show without having all the like more recent awareness being so fresh in our mind. So my theory is like they won't go away the way like Seventh Heaven probably will never get a comeback after what happened with the dad. I don't know. Ask me in 5 years. See how we feel.
Will you guys ever do an episode about soap?
Sure. Tell us which one to do. This is a thing people ask a lot. And I'm like, okay, give us one episode. I'm not going to do the entire character arc for Billy Crystal's character because we don't have time to do that. You can think of one episode that sums up its take on gay stuff or just interesting on its own. Tell us that episode of soap and we will do it.
Will you guys ever do an episode about Ally McBeal?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Tell us which one we should do. Like I have seen almost every episode of Ally McBeal, but off the top of my head, I wouldn't know which one would make the most sense. I don't think I want to do the lesbian kiss episode necessarily. No. It's not the most interesting one.
Will you guys ever do an episode about Dynasty?
Sure. I mean, we could.
I mean, I think there's a question later about if we're ever going to do hour longs. And I think the plan is absolutely yes. That's always sort of been in our minds since we started the show, it was just like, oh, and then we'll do a season about hour longs. I think that our initial thinking is just that when sitcoms tackle these issues, obviously it's one usually lighthearted.
It's supposed to be.
It's great when it's not, but there's just when an hour long usually tackles these issues, they're a little more serious about it. And I think for those shows, definitely we're going to want to have guests on this podcast who can speak to those topics a little more sincerely and with a little bit, I don't know what I'm trying to
perspective,
say. More,
perspective yeah, that we don't
better
have.
Perspective. And just because, like, you know, those hour longs usually get like deep, sometimes in like laughable ways, but a lot of times in earnest ways that we just don't want to discount.
Right. If I had my druthers, I think it would be fun to do a season just of like crime and medical procedurals from the 70s, because their take on gay stuff is so outlandishly bad, usually. Like, the detectives fight an evil lesbian gang. That's actually a plot on one of them, and it is not okay. And it will be easier to laugh about those than it would be to talk about something that happened like in the 90s, where it was a more nuanced take on it. And yeah, yeah, I don't know. Also, Dynasty is a tough one because that's a serial soap. So I wouldn't know how to pick one episode out and do it on its own, because I would be lacking a lot of the context for every single thing that happened before, right?
Well, bring in a Dynasty expert, I guess.
Do we know any gay men who like Dynasty? I'm sure we don't. I'm sure that that's not a thing that
or
exists.
Or gay women.
Or gay women, I'm sure, yeah.
Will you guys ever do an episode about the Love Boat? Yeah, why not?
Sure. I don't know what's gay about it, aside from Gavin McLeod's character on Mary Tyler Moore and Julie's haircut. But, yeah. Oh, hey, did we talk about how Gavin McLeod's character on Mary Tyler Moore was supposed to be gay?
Maybe.
Someone brought this up, and I didn't put it on the list. So when we did the Mary Tyler Moore episode, Gavin McLeod plays Murray, and he's like this like cranky, feisty guy who kind of seems vaguely gay. Mm-hmm. He was based on a gay person and at some point was intended to be a gay character. And they decided, no, we're not going to do that. So they straightened him out, but didn't really change the personality. So that gayness is accurate. We picked up on it correctly.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Mm-hmm. When will you do the Head of the Class hair episode? Do you remember this?
No, but I love Head of the Class.
I do. I would love to have a reason to talk about Head of the Class. How gay is it? Like, yeah. this hair episode. I don't know.
I don't remember, but if it's hair, surely.
Can you get Shelley Long as a guest?
I think no, because she would know that we would never let her leave.
Yeah, I think that would be an anxiety-causing situation for her. I think whatever she's doing, she's very happy not doing it with us right now, unfortunately. But we can ask. Maybe she will. Okay, who would win in a fight between Roseanne and Cybill Shepherd?
Cybill Shepherd.
Really?
Yeah, I think she has got that like vicious, rich white lady energy.
Mm-hmm.
That like you just, I don't know, like something would snap in her.
See, I think Roseanne would have the energy of like, I pulled myself up from nothing. And also, I don't care if like I get punched in the face. And Cybill would be like, no, not the face. And that would be her downfall, I think. That is my guess.
Okay.
But that is a...
Because we won't know unless... Maybe that could be one of our Patreon goals.
That would be a great Fox special too. Yeah. Follow up that someone responded to after someone asked that question. Who would win a fight between Mrs. Garrett and Beverly Ann?
Mrs. Garrett. She put up with Arnold.
But Cloris Leachman has crazy energy that...
Crazy is ableist.
There is a wild energy to Cloris Leachman that we've seen in roles that are not Beverly Ann. And I don't know if I've ever seen that spunk in Mrs. Garrett.
Mrs. Garrett is spunk.
Not that kind of variety. I think like Cloris Leachman would be like a whirlwind of like bony arms coming out of
her. Yeah, bony. Yeah. Mrs. Garrett has like a farm girl thickness to her.
She does. Okay, maybe that's true.
Yeah. Like she just looks hearty.
Okay, I believe you on this one. To which sitcom family would you most want to belong?
I really enjoy the correct grammatical formatting of this question.
I reworded it.
Okay. Yeah. Silver Spoons. Money, Toys, Ricky Shorter.
Oh, that's a good one. I did not even think about that. I said the Keatons because...
I almost said the Keatons, but then I remembered Silver Spoons.
I think I would appreciate Mr. and Mrs. Keaton more than their actual children seem to most of the time because they're awesome. And then I also said the Petries from Dick Van Dyke because Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore are like awesome parents. And I think they'd be a lot of fun, like fun young parents.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Keatons, like... which I think was central to the concept of that show that sort of lost in discussing it, just the way that they treated their children as equals while still being their parents. Like they had actual conversations with their kids that I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the framing of the Reagan era politics that allowed that to be. It was just a nice approach to parenting on TV.
And they just deserve better kids, honestly. Not that the kids were fine, whatever. Yeah. Alex was problematic.
Yeah. But I mean, like, yes, but there was, I think the show realized by its end that like the central relationship on that show is between Alex and Elise. And I think that's why the finale sort of framed it with them.
What happens in the finale?
He graduates. They have a conversation and it's nice.
Oh, that does sound nice. I probably haven't seen that since it aired, to be honest. It's weird how that show's not on in syndication more. Should be. What are your top three theme songs with lyrics? Thank You for Being a Friend doesn't count.
Hogan Family?
Yes.
Perfect Strangers. Facts of Life with Who's the Boss, a close runner-up.
Okay. I put Hogan's Family with an asterisk because that is obviously what we would both answer. Also, I don't know that I would put Thank You for Being a Friend on my list anyway. It's fine, but it's not my favorite part about Golden Girls by far. It wouldn't have
been on my list either.
I said Facts of Life, Fraggle Rock, which has a great theme song, and then Family Ties. And then also I remember, do you remember the episode of Arrested Development?
So you're counting Sha-la-la-la as lyrics?
What do we do, baby?
Oh,
without love. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is good. I don't know why I completely blanked on the lyrics.
It sounds like a 70s pop song. It doesn't really even sound that much like a TV theme song, which I think is why I like it so much. Kind of the way Hogan's Family doesn't really, I guess there's something about it that makes them feel like they could be more than just a TV theme song. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Also, do you remember the episode of Arrested Development with Justine Bateman?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So they have a porn version of the Family Ties theme that is like that character's theme song when Justin Bateman realizes that she's a prostitute, which is one of the most clever jokes that show ever did. Because you only hear it for a few seconds, but it's very clearly a porn riff on the Family Ties theme song. So good. Also, this made me think of like, wait, are there instrumental songs I like? And there are so many. We could easily do a show just talking about instrumental theme songs that we like.
Okay.
Yeah. Why don't you ever do corrections?
Because we're never wrong.
We do sometimes. When we didn't realize the real reason that Katie Sagal took a leave from Married with Children, we followed it up, I think, in the Mr. Belvedere article episode that happened after. We were like, oh, hey, we screwed this up. Because it was a major flub for us. And it was shortly after. The thing I want to point out is when you're listening to an episode of this show, it might be something that you're listening to right now, but it's something we talked about like a year and a half ago. So it's not really on the top of our minds. And if it's a very small correction, it's not, we're not going to go back and like ADR the episode. And it's stuff just kind of gets lost in the shuffle sometimes.
Yeah. I think if it's important or we accidentally slander someone, like obviously we'll do a correction, but like, I just assumed everyone knew that we were two dum-dums who were going to like screw up sometimes.
We like in having Sarah transcribe stuff, there's times when we say the wrong actor name or something. And she's like, oh, I think you meant this. And we're like, yes. And that happens not infrequently. Yeah. So, sorry.
Yes. Blanket sorry.
Are you going to have a way of sending you voice messages, some of which you might play on the show? We have that. No one's ever used it. I've offered it a few times before. It is the Table Cakes hotline, 209-566-CAKE. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Maybe I'll put it in every episode. But we've asked for people to like share memories about a certain thing, and no one has ever thought to do it. The idea I had is that maybe we would pick people who are patrons and be like, ask them on Patreon if they have a specific memory they like to talk about. And then we could like call them, and that would be something that would run for like a minute long interstitial where we just have the actual listener's voice talking about a memory they have. So we might do that, but no one uses the Table Cakes hotline. I don't know why. I think it's a good idea, but it has existed basically since the show has existed. And please, please, please call it if you want
to. I'm going to prank it.
Remember when it went to the wrong man? It went to a guy in like Modesto for a while?
Mm-hmm.
The poor guy. Why don't you put your outro songs on a Spotify playlist? I could do this. A lot of the songs I used are not on Spotify. A lot of...
Probably for a good reason.
Because they're bad? Is that what you're saying?
No, because like... if they're on Spotify, they're probably going to hunt you down for using them.
Oh, I don't think so. No, I think they're just like so under the radar that it's not really. Yeah. I mean, maybe you're right. I'll see what I can do. I'll share a playlist of similar music that I have. Maybe I'll put that in the show notes for this. But my Euro disco tastes are too obscure for Spotify, unfortunately. Glenn, you want to take this next one?
Has Glenn really never listened to an episode of the show? That is correct. I addressed that earlier, and I probably will continue to not listen to this show. I don't know why I would.
I have a way. It's going to be great. Also, when I sent Glenn like the final version of the Golden Girls table read, I literally had to chop out the intro and outro. So it was just like, and then save it as Glenn version, because he would know that like it was safe for his ears. Mm-hmm. You did listen to all of that, didn't you?
Not all of it.
Okay. So glad I made that special clap for you.
Thank you, Drew.
What is a gay character from TV that you personally relate to?
Andrew from Buffy, although Angel sort of bungled that.
Mm-hmm.
Quentin Coldwater from The Magicians, although he was bi. Josh from Please Like Me, but only the relationship with his mom. And then Pearl from Steven Universe. What about you, Drew?
I said Lionel from Dear White People, because he is as close to like the kind of gay nerd I identify as that I've ever seen on TV. Max on Happy Endings, because I don't relate to him so much, but it was weird seeing someone's like, oh, he's kind of
a disaster.
Yeah. That's something we don't really see like that ever. And we should do Happy Endings one day because it's fun to talk about. And then this feels gross, but like sort of Cam from Modern Family, even though I don't really watch that show very much. And like, I don't completely relate to Cam, who is like the redheaded one, not the heavier one. He's Diane Chambers, though, or like, yeah. He has very specific ideas about how he wants stuff to be. He's striving, he wants it better. He usually fails and he has to like try again. That part I very much relate to. And like his just stiff awkwardness.
Yeah, which is why I just wanted to answer Diane Chambers, but had to say Pearl instead, who is a Diane.
Right. I mean, there's a reason why I think both of us end up relating to female characters more than like specifically outwardly gay characters.
What is a show that you wish you could talk about, but never did a gay show? Never did a gay episode?
Mm-hmm.
Elf, obviously.
Yeah. Mine is the same four answers I always give. Family Matters, Fresh Prince, 227, Different World. Like, lost opportunity there, especially with the latter two. But yeah.
What is a show that you think is good that might surprise people? I mean, I said it on the Everybody Loves Raymond episode that I non-ironically enjoyed Everybody Loves Raymond. I thought it was a well-executed show. And I say that the first two or three seasons of Two and a Half Men were also good. And that gets me a lot of looks.
Well, prove us all wrong. We'll do a Two and a Half Men later this season if you can find one you want to do. Gotta be one somewhere, right?
I'm not saying it's not crass and I'm not saying it's not offensive. I'm just saying it has very well-defined characters,
mm-hmm,
who have comedic conflict with each other.
Okay. My answers are Just Shoot Me, which I know we know that Just Shoot Me is great, mm-hmm, mostly because of Wendy Malick and Laura San Giacomo, but also because of David Spade, because he didn't do what everyone else from SNL does, and he didn't star in his own show, or it was the David Spade show. He played a supporting character that allowed him to be as David Spade as he wants to be, and it didn't like make the show too much. It all balanced out very nicely. George Segal and what's his name? Veronica Mars's dad. Enrico Colatoni are also very good, but Wendy Malick especially is amazing to watch on that show.
Yeah, it was sort of early in the trend of shows that were just really terrible people.
Yeah. Also, maybe sort of along those lines, I have a soft spot for Drew Carey Show. And to this day, I will still think back to gags they did, especially about how is a show about four very sad people and who are just bonded together because they don't have anything better to do. There's an episode where they get prosecuted as being a gang. And one of the terms of the judge's verdict is that they can't hang out with each other anymore. And it ruins their lives. And eventually they end up in court again. And the judge decides that I'm worried that if I say you can't be friends anymore, you might go out into the world and find other groups of people. And there'd be four groups of horrible people. So I'd rather you guys just stuck to yourselves, and like reverses the ruling. Meaningful. Will you do a trans episode? Yeah, actually, there's a Just Shoot Me that did a trans theme, and I don't know how successful it is, but it'd be handy to do. We need to bring a trans person in to tell us how successful it is. There's another one that we had. Oh, there's a Jeffersons. There's a Jeffersons that has a trans plot line. And
there's also an All in the Family, is there not?
That is a weird one because it sort of is and it sort of isn't. They call the character a drag queen, but like the character I think always presents as female. So it's like a terminology thing, but I have to go back and watch that episode. And that leads up to it does not end well for that character also. If you can think of other trans episodes of sitcoms that we should do, give us a heads up and we will find the trans guest to come and give us what's for about how well it actually does. Glenn, do you want to tackle this next one?
Oh, how long until the first live episode of Gayest Episode Ever would anyone actually go?
I'm not going to say that like I edit our episodes heavily, but I do edit out mouth noises. So if you imagine this show with a lot more mouth noises, that would be something you'd have to deal with. Also, I'm not sure how that would work. Like, would we live watch a show?
No, I think they mean like other podcasts do, we'd rent out a space. And no, I mean, I guess it's a, yeah, it's like sitcom. Maybe we'd all watch together.
Like that'd talk, and then like play a clip.
Or we just start the show by watching the sitcom and then we talk about it.
Yeah.
Sitcoms are short.
They are. In my head, it would work better as like some sort of sitcom trivia show that we host. But like, I don't know. That's
point being, I mean, I don't see us traveling for it. I don't see that sort of, I don't see a lot of clusters of our fans.
We have fans. Outside of LA. Yeah. Also, I don't feel that I have stage presence necessarily. It is a little easier to talk without, the only person who's staring at me is Glenn. He's staring at me right now. We'll put a pin in that one.
What are your gay-coded villain crushes, Drew?
I couldn't think of any.
What?
No. Let me, do not interrupt me. I couldn't think of any like real life human ones. They're all cartoon characters.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of a single gay villain played by an actual like flesh and blood human that actually worked. So I came up with the Purple Pie Man from Strawberry Shortcake, Duke Igthorn from Gummy Bears, and Lord Licorice from Candyland, all of whom have evil mustaches. And I guess that's as far as my brain took this one.
Yeah. Jafar, powerful, catty, bearded, fun best friend.
Is he a fun best friend?
Love Iago.
Oh, his friend is fun. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, he's not a fun best friend. No, he'd use me completely.
On the TV show, though, Iago is friends with like Aladdin and Jasmine and all them. And was that ever explained how they even decided to tolerate him?
Yeah, in the sort of straight-to-video movie.
Return of Jafar?
Yeah, he sort of escapes the lamp and like redeems himself somewhat.
Oh, I always wondered about that.
Okay. It's a great TV show.
It was a pretty good TV show. Yeah. Where do you get your research for the episodes you cover? Wikipedia. But I actually mean that in the good way. Wikipedia is awesome. I know like even like smart adults look down on Wikipedia because they think it's like somehow not useful as a research tool. But like if it's a show I don't know anything about, I'm going to read the entire Wikipedia page. And that is a great way to find primary sources because most Wikipedia pages cite all their sources. And most of those books are easy to find online for free. And then make more directed searches later. So like if you don't know what to Google, you're not going to Google a certain thing, but that.
And I'll just look it up for character names.
That too. Oh, also New York Times and LA Times archives are really good for finding out what people thought of shows right when they first premiered. If it was a show of note, it's really interesting seeing like famous shows get like panned and be like, it's not going to last. And they do.
If Thurman were the host of his own podcast, what would the subject of it be? I said, what to bite and where to bite it.
Squirrels I saw today and weird dreams I had. That might be interesting.
Yeah. He's too beautiful for podcasts.
Yeah, he doesn't really want to chip in that much. So, sorry.
He's here right now.
He's usually here. It's just that this is about as much as you're ever going to get of him. Your voices are so smooth and silky. What microphones are you using? And what experience on the mic did both of you have before this?
They are black.
I'm looking at it right now. They're Sennheisers. That was what Michelle Land's Annenberg School graduate recommended as being the best one for what we're doing. So we use them. You can buy them on Amazon for, I think, like $90. And I think it may sound about as good as we can. My experience on a mic was nothing before
this.
I used to be a reporter and I used to record most of my interviews, and the process of having to go back and play my interviews and transcribe it out into notes was the most painful thing in the world, because I could hear how inarticulate I sounded and every stammer, and I kind of have a stammer, which is something I thought I didn't really have anymore, but listening to myself on this, I realized I still do. It was very painful. I got over it because I didn't have a choice, because someone had to edit these shows. But I don't really feel super comfortable about my ability to talk on a mic even still. But thank you for putting up with us.
Thanks.
Thanks. Why does Drew bleep out the place he worked at?
Legal reasons, I'm guessing.
No, probably not legal reasons. It's more that I worked for a TV station that I don't like. And it's one thing to like just shit talk an entity that you don't like and have everyone know what it is, I guess. It's maybe the classier thing to hold back a little bit and put some distance between yourself and this thing you don't like. I picked halfway between those two things. I'm going to shit talk as much as I want, but I'll bleep it out. So you can't actually prove what I'm talking about. That's it. If you want to find out what it is, look me up. It's easy to figure out.
When is Being Frank going to be on Netflix? I do not know. I don't think it's terribly uncommon for a writer to be out of the loop on most of these decisions. Like, I found out the title change of my movie on social media. But Jim Gaffigan has a good relationship with Amazon at the moment, and he sort of moved away from Netflix. So I think if and when it's going to be free streaming, it'll probably be on Prime, but I do not know. You can still buy it digitally.
Or rent it.
No, the rentals have been taken off a lot of places. Like, I think through Google Play and some others, like, you can look up where to rent it, but like, you can't rent it through Prime anymore, which I don't know if that's because it's leading up to streaming. I do not know.
Yeah.
But if you would like to buy my movie, I would like that.
I'll put a link in the show notes where you can buy the movie.
Thank you.
And when we know, we will believe us. Yes, that's how we
believe it.
Believe it. We'll tell you.
I'm quoting Naruto, you know, anime.
I never watched Naruto.
That's okay.
Or his son, Bort. Are there any episodes you're especially proud of or want new listeners to hear?
I already said Give Me a Break. Definitely listen to that. And I really liked our conversation with Brian Wiest about camp versus kitsch.
I know, we should bring him back.
In the first Simpsons episode. So I think that is a really good and useful discussion to listen to, even outside of the context of The Simpsons.
Yeah, we should bring him back just as an interview show, talking about more about camp and kitsch, because I'm sure that's something he could drill down on really deeply.
Oh, also the Golden Girls table read, for selfish reasons.
Right. Well, obviously, because that one took the most doing to make happen. So, yes. I would say the dinosaurs episode, just because I think a lot of people our age don't realize how clever that show could be on occasion, or that the show ever did a gay episode, much less that it ever did a 2-episode anti-Gulf War episode as the war was happening on a broadcast network. That was a fun hole to fall down. And that's the kind of stuff I want to do with the show, to be like, holy shit, like, there is more thought put into this than I realized when I was 8 or whatever.
Why has Thurman never been a guest on the show?
You can kind of answer that one.
Yeah, he's a guest on every show. What will the bonus podcast be? Drew, would you like to announce it?
We had another idea today, but like, what if it changes? Like, we've gone through so many ideas. Like, I'm hesitant to say.
Okay. I think this is it's the one that's stuck around the longest. We keep going back to it.
All right, let's just do it. I mean, we're getting very close to it, so we kind of have to begin production. Was it the Show Me More one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure that I remember correctly. We thought it might be good as an experiment, maybe for future seasons, pick a TV actor who also had a movie career and take like 10 of their most interesting movies.
Eight or 10.
Yeah, we'll do something and talk about them. And the person we picked was Shelley Long, because she had a lot of movies that like run the gamut of stuff we experienced when we were kids, and we love her and she needs her due. And
it also ties in directly with the sitcom nature of this podcast, but it's completely different.
And it'll probably end up around Brady Bunch movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I look forward to that. So Shelley Longcast coming your way. Exclusive to Patreon. You have to be a Patreon member to get it. It will go live around the time we hit the $500 mark, which we're not very far away from already, actually. And at some point in the distant future, it'll probably go on the main feed as well. And maybe we'll do a different actor profile when we do another bonus podcast, because it didn't take us very long to get to 500. Probably won't take us that long to get to 1,000.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. And maybe we'll do something else. Who knows? We have so many ideas.
So many.
Literally so many ideas. Commercials that made us gay. Maybe it could have been a whole series.
Folgers. Yes. Folgers Christmas.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. The last question.
Ugh.
Do you have an ideal boyfriend / what would he be like?
Patient.
I'm going to say probably has a beard. That's about as far as I took it. Tolerant of dog. Yeah.
That's tolerant of dog. I would definitely have to date someone who wouldn't be frustrated when I said on any given weekend day or weeknight night, when I was just like, hey, let's go to blank coffee place. You can read your book. I'm going to work.
Mm-hmm.
That is the date. That is the time we are spending together, mm-hmm. sitting somewhere in mostly silence in a place other than our home.
Sitting in silence is actually a great aspect of like a functional relationship. Like when you realize, I was like, oh, it's been like half an hour since anyone said anything, but it doesn't feel weird. It's always a nice feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks for that one. Made us feel ways about stuff. Glenn, if people have further questions for you about your ideal boyfriend, where should they direct them to on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at I Write Wrongs. That is IWRITE, wrongs with the W, or on Instagram at Bros Quartz. I have established in this episode that I am a fan of Steven Universe. So yes, that is a Steven Universe reference. Drew, what about you?
You've established it many times.
What are you trying to say?
You really like Steven Universe. But we still haven't watched the new season.
Future,
we
no.
Really should watch more of those.
Yeah.
Because it's ending soon.
Yes.
Yes. I'd like to be caught up and watch the last episode the same day everyone does.
Okay.
Okay. I'm on Twitter at Drew G. Mackey, M-A-C-K-I-E. This podcast is on Twitter at Gayest Episode. Listen to previous episodes at gayestepisodeever.com. Please give us a rate and review. Rate and reviews are important for all the reasons you've heard on every podcast ever. They actually do help other people find this show. So if you haven't gone on iTunes and given us 5 stars and said something, it doesn't really have to be deep. It doesn't have to be doesn't even really have to be coherent. It just has to be words.
Just say hot, 3 exclamation points.
I would take that. Someone did say something like that recently, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Please do that. There's a link to the iTunes page in the show notes. Click on it. If you want to be part of the group that gets to listen to the Shelley Long cast and all future bonus podcasts and also get every episode a week early, go to Patreon. Give us money. It only costs $1 a month to get all this stuff early. Patreon.com/gayestepisodeever. This show is transcribed by Sarah Neal. She does a great job. We have linked to her website in the show notes. If you need a transcriber, I would recommend her very, very happily. You can also get a link to all the transcribed episodes if you want to read us like a play instead of listening to us yabber back and forth. The logo for our show is done by Rob Wilson, but this logo is actually done by Jeff Hinchy because it's one of our special, we're not talking about any show in particular, Patreon episodes. And you can find a link to his work in the show notes as well. This is a Table Cakes podcast. Table Cocks is a Los Angeles-based podcast network about cocks. If you like cocks, go to tablecocks.com. Don't go to tablecocks.com. I don't know if the cocks are being treated properly there. I don't know what's there. Tell us. That's it. We answered so many questions, Glenn. Don't you feel like this was a good use of your time?
I have to go back to work.
This is work.
Okay.
This is.
I'm going to go grab the shrimp.
People are going to think that's a weird euphemism for something. Glenn's going to go grab his shrimp. So.
I didn't say that.
What did you say?
The shrimp.
Okay.
It's different. Shrimp and peas.
It's not really fixing it. That still sounds like you're talking about your genitals. Is that what you call your penis? The shrimp?
The shrimp and peas, yeah.
Ugh. Podcast over.
Bye forever. Repeat it all again. I said, Mrs. Speaker, could you help me a sec? I would like to send a message to a curly head. ACC.
modulation. Never leave your frequency.
Thank you.